you're absolutely right. Jimmy Edwards and Dick Bentley are back with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, Tony Eaton, Sid Phillips and his band, and the Peabody Review Orchestra, all inviting you to take it from here.
Listeners, do not adjust your sets. Welcome to yet another series of Take It From Here.
Jimmy, it's no good. I can't do it.
So I've heard, Benjamin. Mm. In fact, your yo-yo instructor is quite worried about you.
Nothing to do with that. I'm talking about the show. We can't do it, Jimmy. We mustn't do it. We daren't.
Well, why not?
Just look at the script.
Oh, yes, there is that, I know.
No, Jimmy, the cover. The script. Look, it's the 13th series.
Oh, Benji, don't tell me you believe in all that superstitious muck.
Well, I only know what I know. Many years ago, an old gypsy woman said to me, Dick, as long as I'm your agent, I want you to stay clear of 13. Well, I just laughed. But do you know, Jimmy, she was right. I made my debut on Friday the 13th.
What happened?
There were 13 people in the audience.
I see what you mean. It was their unlucky day. Anyway, I'm not superstitious, and you can take it from me that everything will be all right. Now, come on, let's get on with the show.
Oh, well, all right, Jimmy.
Evening, Mr. Bates. What's your Jim?
Well, it's Waller Devil Wall.
Yeah. Hello, Jim. What's new, then?
For a start, the vocalist, the writers, and the producer.
Behind?
Yes, well, I'm afraid that Benji and I are the last remaining bastions.
Oh, come now. You're just as popular as you ever was.
Even after Dr.
Yeah.
Teasing?
Where you been hiding yourself this summer then, Jim? We missed you at the op picking.
Well, let's see now. I've been to Russia.
Huh?
I've been on the telly.
Oh.
I've bought a new house. I've played a lot of polo and made a new film.
How about you, Mr. B?
I've had a quiet time, too. Actually, the break gave me the chance to do a lot of serious thinking about myself. I just shut myself away in a quiet place and sat for hours. Jimmy, Wallace, I've come to a momentous decision.
You're not going to part your hair on the other side.
Of course not, Wallace. It's more far-reaching than that.
Oh.
You let it grow down your back?
Oh. It has nothing to do with anything so trivial as my hair. This is something real. Something I've always wanted to do. Jimmy, I am going to open a theater.
Well, that's fair enough. You've closed enough of them, haven't you?
You don't understand. I'm going to do what Bernard Miles has done.
Well, I hope you enjoy eating your eggs in threes.
No, Jim. What Mr. B means, he's going to build another theater, like the Mermaid.
Exactly, Wallace. Yeah. The new theater bearing my name. The home of cultural offerings. Like Shakespeare.
What are you going to call it, then? The Old Dick? Where is this cultural review bar of yours going to be?
Whopping Old Stairs. Oh, I've got a site all planned from which one day the theatre will rise, standing proudly, a shining monument to its founder. Of course, at the moment, it's just a filthy old mud flat.
Well, then call it Dirty Dicks.
Yeah, Mr. Bick, what sort of things are you going to put on in this theatre of yours?
Nothing but the best. Shaw, Ibsen, Chekhov, the Crazy Gang.
That's a very creditable venture, Mr. B. As a true theatre lover, I applaud your efforts.
Yes, that's all very well, but where's the money coming from?
Well, it's simple. I shall rely upon voluntary contributions from all true theatre lovers.
Oh. Well, set out all. I'm off to the picture.
Now, Wallace, come back.
So much for your true theatre lovers.
Well, how about you, Jimmy? You see, it only costs sixpence a brick. And I shall be happy to receive any contribution from sixpence up to £1,000.
That's a little high for me, Bentley. I might manage to meet you halfway. Here's Thrupton.
Oh, Jimmy, you're a real half brick.
Well, now, what about the orchestra?
Ah, well, June promised to take up a collection for me. She's going around the boys in the band now.
Oh,
listen to that.
Yeah, you know.
Oh. I used to play in a band. I can see what they...
Oh, Dick.
No job for a woman, is it, then?
Oh, never again, Dick. I didn't realize collecting money had such hazards.
Oh, it has, June. If you're not careful, you can get pinched for it.
You don't have to tell me. Well, here you are, Dick. Here's the tambourine.
Good. Let's have a look.
Well done, Jules. Well, Jimmy, with your thruppence and this contribution from the Review Orchestra, the Richard Bentley Theatre is off to a fine start.
Well, what have you got?
Enough for the first brick.
The Sunday Times. Next 35 sale, four. The Sunday Times, champion of free speech. The paper that dares to tell the truth. The paper they cannot gag. We believe...
Well, go on, Bindi. What do we believe?
We're not allowed to say. Here's the Sunday Times. 16 pages of well-edited rubbish. Packed with lively information. For instance, take this week's front page story.
Khrushchev exposure.
Mr. Percy Khrushchev of Amesbury Villas did got... was discovered today on Beachy Head suffering from exposure. Full of interesting features, such as Notes for Women by Heather Scott Capron.
Hello. Here's something new to do with pineapple chunks. One evening, when you're bored, why not try putting the pieces together again?
In the country with Hobnet.
At this time of year, last remaining leaves are fluttering forlornly on the trees. A dank chill fills the air. The hedgerows be bare. And down in the hollow by the old oak tree, the damp mists be gathering. I'm glad I live in town.
The Sunday Type Parking Plan.
We call upon the Ministry of Transport to put an end to the traffic chaos in London. The problem can be solved for a mere £15 million. Our plan? Move London to Birmingham.
The week's new show by our dramatic critic.
A Boy is 3 feet High by T.S. Mankiewicz. What a nasty play this is. Three acts of sex, violence, greed, and corruption. It should run for years.
The week's new film by Dillis Lejeune.
There's a charming little avant-garde film at the Grosvenor to the joie de vivre of the piece. And with that piquance that gives just the right air to the fait accompli of the denouement. Its title, Carry On, Gas Inspector.
And so to our main feature, a frank and revealing human document. This week...
Pagan love rites in outer London. East Crouchmore Hill is a typical North London suburb, home of thousands of ordinary middle-class people. But beneath the veneer of respectability, there is evil. Evil. Evil more sordid than in all the vice ports of the world. The story I have to tell is quite fantastic. And even I, hardened old reporter that I am, would have found it unbelievable if I hadn't copped an eyeful for myself. It was 8:30 when I walked up the path to the grim, forbidding front door of number 17 Sycamore Road. Half afraid of what I might find, I knocked at the door. A swarthy, slit-eyed, silk-clad figure stood before me.
Oh, good evening. Just me being in my pajamas. I was just going to bed.
Yes, I bet you were.
Can I help you at all?
Is this the place wherein is enacted pagan rituals, witchcraft, and love orgies?
Oh, no. That's next door.
Well, then it's here, then.
Good evening. What can I do for you?
I've come about the pagan love rites.
Oh, good. Who recommended you to us?
Well, no one. I read your card outside the newsagent.
Splendid. Good to know our advertising does have some effect. Come in, won't you?
I say, that strange Chinese dancing figure with eight arms. What is it?
The hall stand. Fun, isn't it? Well, I'm Anthony Wincott Hargreaves. Welcome to an evening of mystique. Can I take your things?
Well, thank you. Here's my hat, my coat, and mystique.
Fiona... Come and meet the new member. This is Mrs. Wincott Hargreaves, our high priestess of love.
How do you do?
Hello, sweetie. How nice of you to come. You must excuse me. Everyone's clamoring for potions.
Well, now, since you're here, of course, you'll have to be initiated.
Will I?
Oh, yes, but don't worry. It's all terribly simple. Follow me.
That woman, she's got a knife.
Fiona's mother. She's doing the sandwiches. It's over here. Now, 5 guineas, please. Thank you. Now, here's your witch doctor set. A bottle of primeval passion aftershave lotion. Or you can have the talcum if you prefer it.
I'll think it over.
Yes. Thank you. And, of course, our special LP of tribal dances, chants and incantations played by the Max Jaffa Trio.
Thank you. So I am now a member of the East Crouchmore Hill Primitive Love Cult and Friendly Society.
Yes, welcome to the club. Now, do come and join the others. They're in here.
I was led into a dim, smoke-filled room, lit only by the gleaming eyeballs of the others. I recoiled in horror at the sheer brute force of the scene before my eyes.
Musical chairs. Oh, I am caught. Come and sit down and we'll have a cozy little chat. So here we are. Let's sit down on these tom-toms.
I thought I'd have made a learn note.
Well, now, perhaps I'd better tell you how we carry on here.
I'm beginning to get a rough idea.
Well, on Mondays we have a whip drive and an orgy. On Wednesdays, it's pagan ritual night followed by old-time dancing. And on Fridays, it's crazy night. I don't mind admitting that as high priestess of the cult, my work is well cut out.
As indeed was the bit about what they do on Saturdays and Sundays. But, Mrs. Wincott Hargreaves.
Yes?
You're still so young and beautiful. How did you ever become a high priestess of love?
I've just been lucky, I suppose. Of course, I'm here to flower for this sort of thing. Men in the winds, they said, I have the most tremendous organizing ability, and I've just gone to the same...
There place. You are, Fiona, with Mr... Oh, I say, we don't even know your name.
Oh, well, it's James South.
Not James, daring expose South of the Sunday Press.
The same.
What? Chap who goes sneaking around, ferreting out people's little personal secrets, and using them for cheap, sordid sensationalism.
I have that honor.
Well, I've only got one thing to say to you.
Yes?
Wincott is spelt with 2 T's, and you must be good enough to say I'm 28.
Well, Mr. South, if you're looking for something really exciting, I think I can offer you just that. Anthony?
Yes. Well, friends, now we come to the moment you've been waiting for. Your very own high priestess of love and her famous dance of desire. And don't forget, when it comes to the second chorus, all join in.
Reluctantly, I must draw a veil over what happened next. Never have I witnessed such a torrid scene of wild abandon. Many of you will not believe that this could take place in a civilized country such as ours. But I know, because I was there. What's more, I'm going again.
Come on, gentlemen, please. Come along, drink up, gents. Here, come on now, Mr. Bilston.
Are you good, old kid? Here, kid. Whatever become of that stout, boozy chap used to come in here?
Oh, you mean Mr. Glum?
Yes.
Oh, that's a sad business. Ain't been in here since the day of his son's wedding. Young Ron Glum.
Oh, was it a nice wedding?
Never took place. Terrible thing that was.
Oh. What happened then?
Well, they was both here in this very pub. He watched his son crossing the road to that church over there. Then it happened. Right in the middle of the road, there was an open manhole cover.
He didn't fall down, it.
Oh, nothing as simple as that for Ron Glum. No. He knew it was there all right, cause his old man shouted at him, see? He just decided to go down and have a look around. Got himself lost.
Lummy.
Yeah, of course, that was some 6 months ago now.
I bet that caused a bit of a rumpus. What's the latest news?
Well, as I say, I ain't seen Mr. Glum from that day to this. I suppose the shock of it all, it drove him off the drink.
Then you don't know how they're getting on now, then?
Tell you the truth, I don't. To know that, you'd have to have your ear to the keyhole of the Glum's front parlour.
Oh, Ron. I can't make you out.
Yes, Dad, it is a bit smoky in here.
I told you not to put your Wellingtons in the fireplace. Now, listen carefully, son. I have to bring up a rather painful subject, which I have hitherto refrained from mentioning. Partly because of my fatherly regard for your sensitive feelings on the subject, and partly because, well, every time I think of it, I want to bash your silly great head in. Ron, why did you do it?
They were damp, Dad.
Not your Wellington! I'm referring to the matter of your ill-fated wedding day. Ron, whatever possessed you to go down that manhole and desert your lovely bride at her moment of glory?
Well, Dad, it's not every day a chap gets the chance to look round the sewers.
Look round the sewers? Why, Ron, why?
You know me, I've got a nose for the unusual.
You certainly picked the right place. Ron, how could you do it?
Well, there was a ladder, and when I got to the bottom...
No. I'm not interested in your underground movements. Did it not occur to you that you was on your way to be married?
Oh.
Imagine how I felt, standing like any proud father would in the doorway of the pub. Watching his darling son take them last precious steps towards matrimony. And what happened? You disappeared down the ruddy great hole in the road.
You didn't stop me, Dad.
I couldn't. I was numb with shock. Rooted to the spot in horror. Added to which, I still had the best part of a point left. By the time I got there, there was no sign of you. Where did you get to?
Paddington.
All very well for you. While you was down there in the bowels of the earth enjoying yourself, I had to explain your absence to Eff and her family.
How did they take it, Dad?
Well, pretty well, considering. Eff fainted, her mother had hysterics, and her father hit me. As for the others, they all turned nasty, just because they'd been cheated out of a free boozer. I tell you, Ron, ever since then, no one has wanted to come near me.
I know how you feel, Dad. The same thing happened to me when I came out of the sewer.
Even my own family wouldn't have anything to do with me. Come to think of it, that was the one redeeming feature of the old sordid business. Hello, in the words of that great poet and philosopher Omar Cohen, it'll all blow over in time.
Dad?
Yes, son?
Funny we haven't heard from Eff lately.
Well, say, Ron, that's what I admire about you. In times of stress and emotional strain, you still manage to remain the same calm, stupid, dunder-headed oaf what you've always been. What did you expect her to do? Come round here on her hands and knees asking for her old job back?
No, but she might have sent a postcard. Oh, Dad, I do miss her. Life's not the same without her. Seems so empty and forlorn. Like a stick when the ice lolly's gone. Dad, every night I sit here on the sofa with my arm round nothing. It's pointless, Dad.
Anne, I didn't realize you were so grief-stricken. Mm. You'd give anything to see her again, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir. I know. Let's ask her around to see.
I'm afraid she wouldn't come, Ron. The only thing that would make her set foot in this house would be if... Wait a minute, I think.
Yes.
I've got it. Ron, you're seriously ill.
Oh, that...
No, not really. Just pretend. Now, let's see. Hard pad? No. Housemaid's knee? No. I know. You've lost your memory.
Have I, Dad?
Yes. You can't remember a thing. That shouldn't be too difficult to fake.
Yes. Loss of memory.
What in the medical profession they call anesthesia. That's what you've got. Now remember, you've lost your memory. You don't know nothing or no one, understand?
Yes, Dad.
Right, I'll get a message to Ed. Leave everything to your old father.
There's just one thing.
What is it?
I've forgotten what I'm supposed to have.
Oh, he's a natural.
Good afternoon, Mr. Glum. I've seized your note. Well, here I am.
Come in, Ethel. May I say that in the circumstances, it was very good of you to come.
Yes. Well, I won't pretend it was easy. It took a lot of heart searching, Mr. Glum, before I saw it was my duty to come.
You won't regret it. When tragedy strikes, our personal differences are forgotten.
Well, not altogether, Mr. Glum, but after all, he is a human being.
Don't let's complicate matters.
How did it happen?
Well, Ed, you don't mind if I call you, Ed?
Oh, I suppose not.
Well, it was not long after the day I won't mention. When he realized his foolish action had cost him the thing he treasured most, he tried to lose himself in a gay whirl of activity. He used to go for long rides on his bike. Then one day, suddenly something snapped. Yes, sir, it was the chain. When they carried him in, he couldn't remember a thing. He didn't even recognize his dear mother.
Oh, what a terrible thing.
Mind you, that wasn't surprising. She'd been sweeping the chimney with cold cream on her face.
Mr. Glum, what did the doctor have to say?
Well, he said it's just a matter of time and infinite patience. And we're confidently hoping that someday soon he'll get back to his old former self.
Oh, I see. Is he very different, Mr. Glum?
Yes, Ed, I'm afraid he... Well, he's not the gay, vital person what you knew. Still, perhaps you'd like to see him now.
Very well, Mr. Glum.
But, Ed, before you go in, you mustn't expect too much. Remember, his mind is a complete blank. Don't be too upset if he doesn't know you.
Ronnie, you have a visitor. There's a lady to see you.
Good afternoon, Ronald.
How are you, Ed?